Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What's up and welcome back to Kind of Funny Games Daily for a very spooky Friday the 13th in October.
Whoa. The best Friday the 13th you can ask for.
The Devil's Day.
The Devil's Day.
Of course, I'm Tim Geddes. I'm joined by Blessing Adeoye Jr.
You have any special plans for the Devil's Day?
I do, actually. I'm going on a not one, not two, but triple date tonight.
Oh.
Yeah, with Gia, some of my best friends from middle school, and some of my former best friends from middle school that I haven't seen in quite a long
time.
Since
middle school?
We caught up every once in a while, but we used to be really, really close, but then, you know, just kind of things have fallen off, but... yeah, no, it's I'm excited for that. Should
Very
be cool.
Exciting. What are the date plans? Are you going to a haunted house or is it
no,
going
no,
to
we're
a
just
dinner?
Going we're going to this restaurant that like I've been to before and I'm like, guys, I don't think we should go here. It's not that great. Mm-hmm. Cause last time I went there, it was just me and Gia and we were the only people there. And you know when you're the only people at a restaurant? Yeah. Already the vibes are feeling kind of weird. And then they give you a lot of extra attention. And then it gets even weirder because it's like, I feel like every time this happens, they end up giving you a bunch of free stuff. Oh, hey, try that. You should try this. You should try that. It's on the house. And now all of a sudden I'm like, okay, well, no one's here because this place isn't that good. Mm-hmm. And now I have a whole bunch of food in front of me that I feel like I need to eat.
Yeah, well, you don't want to eat it.
Yeah,
like, you're just being forced to eat a bunch of food where you're like, oh, this is mid. Like, yeah. It's not bad enough to where it's like you want to walk out, but it's not good enough to where it's like, I want to do this.
Yeah.
It's got a bunch of, what kind of food was it? What was the cuisine?
It was it's Vietnamese fusion, and okay. Some of the stuff was good, but like some of it, I was just like, yeah, this just ain't. There's just so much good Vietnamese in San Francisco, so it was like,
whose idea was it to go here then?
My friend that I haven't seen in a long time, and I was like, if I'm being honest,
you didn't have it in you to be like, ah, actually,
no, I did. Uh-huh. I told him everything I just told you. I told them.
Okay.
But it was more, I didn't have it in me to come up with a better plan, and this place. Very close to my house.
Okay, so it's the convenience factor. Like, I get that. It's like, you know what? All right, cool. I don't have to cross a bridge. I don't have to, like, you know, veer through traffic.
Well, actually, because they did suggest another place that was, like, pretty deep South Bay. And I'm like, I know that place is way better. But I was being straight up with them. I'm like, that place is better. But this place is closer to my house, so let's just do it.
I get it. I mean, at that point, it's for the hangs, right? It's
like before
the
food. Exactly. What are you got going on tonight?
Oh, absolutely nothing.
Good.
I don't know what I think I might... What is the new episode of Gen V out? Is that a Thursday night thing?
Oh, it is. Last night, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm probably gonna do that.
Yeah.
Right. I might just chill. I might not even play video games.
Wow.
Because I need a break.
You do, dude.
I'm
you
tired.
Deserve that break.
I played so many video games in the last 2 months.
Yeah.
And I think I've hit the point where I'm like, nothing else.
Yeah.
I know, like, I'm you at the restaurant where I'm like, stop bringing me food.
No, totally.
I'm just gonna chill. I'm gonna watch some television. Because like I feel like every year there's always something that has to give, right? Where like last year I didn't watch many movies at all. Like I put up my Letterboxd list of movies I saw last year, and I was like, man, I've not watched shit. And so this year I've been watching hella movies, but what that means is that I'm not watching TV at all.
Yeah.
And so granted, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like this has been a weak TV year.
No, I mean, I feel like it's been there's been some
we got
hitters.
Dave.
Yeah, but we always have Dave.
It's been we don't always. Yeah. It feels that way, but it's like it's more of an every other year type thing. With Dave. I feel like there's been some hitters. There's been some misses as well, but I think we're really thriving right now, man.
What's like, in 2023? What are the top five TV shows?
Hard for me to like off the top.
Okay.
Bring it up. I'll have to think about it a little bit, but I mean, Gen V right now is the answer.
Gen V
I know you're
sick.
Watching it, so you know what's up. If you guys aren't watching Gen V, get on it, man. It is so damn good. Loki's a fun time. We're gonna talk about that on the screencast.
Reservation
later today.
Dogs, final season, I think, just came out too.
Which one is that? Reservation Dogs?
It's about native kids in like the middle of the country.
Okay.
It's like produced by Taika Waititi.
Oh, and it's an FX joint.
Yes.
Anything FX
Bear
does.
Season 2.
Oh,
was
you're
this
right.
Year.
Yeah,
Bear. The Bear's was this year.
The Bear season. You're right. Okay. Yeah. You're right. You're right. The Bear season 2 is fucking
Secession.
Sick.
Oh my God. Yeah. Holy shit, dude.
Yeah, but I'm not watched. I need to look at
The Last of Us.
The Last was yes.
Man.
You're right.
And
okay.
House
you're
of
right.
Usher's out now, but anyway, things are great. Here's the thing, Buzz. I need to tell you a story because God damn.
What are you looking at? Oh, Jesus Christ.
I got got. Get there. I got got. So, Tim, I walked onto the set. I didn't see it.
I didn't see it. I was too focused on Skelly over here. That was like a really good sleight of hand. Where you came over here, you put down Skelly.
Goddamn fucking monster! Get it out of here!
It really does pop up in the random places. Like, yesterday I was getting ready to do PS I Love You, and I look, and I see it just face toward the door of the streaming room. And, like, it was meant to freak out Snowhack Mike, but it still freaked me out, because I was like, who the fuck is this child?
Really no, quick, I, you every time. I did, if y'all want to check out Mike playing more Kingdom Hearts yesterday, obviously check that out. He's getting close to the end of Kingdom Hearts 1. But we did capture on stream. I snuck in the creepy girl into the actual streaming room and had it face him. So if he ever got up, that'd be the first thing he saw. So if you wanna find that, there's a special moment of him getting up on stream and freaking the fuck out. So
hell yeah.
What a time to be alive. You know, let's get into it. There's a lot of video game news to talk about. Yeah, so let's do just that, because this is kind of Funny Games Daily. Today's stories include: Microsoft completes its Activision acquisition.
Finally.
It is done. We may rest. Sonic Superstars reviews are out, and a whole bunch more. Of course, this is kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, we come at you live with all the video game news that you need to know. It's at 10 a.m. Pacific. You can watch it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. If you can't watch live, you can watch later on YouTube or roosterteeth.com. You can also get it as a podcast by searching your favorite podcast service for Kind of Funny Games Daily, and we'll be right there for you. If you are watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. And remember, you can use Epic creator code kindoffunny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases. And at no extra cost to you, we get some of that money. And it's great, and it helps the world go round. But if you want to help the world go round even more and allow us to do bigger and crazier things, like enjoy this beautiful, beautiful studio that we've had for an entire year now, bless.
This is
the year anniversary of the spare bedroom.
And the smoke machines.
It's wild. Absolutely wild. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny.
Can I give myself a year wrong?
Yes.
Because I'm pretty sure a year ago, I said that these smoke machines weren't going to make it past week three.
Here they are,
baby. Both these smoke machines are functioning.
You were almost right.
I can't believe we made it this far.
It was touch and go for a while.
I love it, man. We need more of them. Patreon.com/kindoffunny might make that happen. It gets you the show ad-free. You get a whole bunch of bonus content, and you get to watch a lot of the shows live as we record them. Little housekeeping for you. We're throwing a meet-and-greet fundraiser for Extra Life. Well, Square Pie Guys is actually doing it. You all can come hang out with some of us on October 25th, celebrating the launch of the Kind of Funny Pizza, a buffalo chicken pie, and raising money for the Big Beautiful Kids. All the proceeds from the tickets will go to our Extra Life fundraising. You'll be entered to win a whole bunch of cool prizes, and you get some good pizza. You can go get tickets at kindoffunny.com/SPG party for more information on that. A new episode of PS I Love You XOXO is up right now, and the crew ranks the best Spider-Man games. You can check that out.
I feel like this is one that we should have had Tim Geddes on. I feel like you got some opinions on Spider-Man games.
Oh, I definitely do.
Can you name off a top five Spider-Man game? Not even a ranked, just a top five.
Well, top five, I feel like...
And this includes games including Spider-Man, because one of mine was Marvel vs. Capcom.
Oh, shit. I mean, okay, that's very difficult then, because, yeah, Marvel vs. Capcom 2, for
Marvel
sure.
Snap probably is in there for you.
Oh, Marvel Snap? I mean, yeah, fuck it, he's in there. So, yeah, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2.
Ooh, I didn't even think about that.
Hell yeah.
I didn't even think about that. That's really good.
Obviously, the Insomniac games. I feel like I would count all of them in some way, at least.
That's five right there.
And Miles. Can't talk about Spider-Man 2. But the real answer for me that I think is very important to shout out is Neversoft's Spider-Man
1. Yep.
Because that is definitely the thing that got me to fall in absolute love with Spider-Man. Like, that was the turning point for me where I'm like, Spider-Man is one of my favorite characters, IP in existence, where I had watched the cartoons when I was little, but that game really was what introduced me to the Rogues Gallery and Stan Lee being the creator, and like, because he was the voice, he was the narrator. Like, there was something about that just they nailed it. And also, it was Neversoft, which, like, Tony Hawk, come on.
I missed the abilities in that one.
Yeah,
like, they had like the dumb like web dome where he dumb himself out with webs and then explode. He had the thing where he would turn his fist into webs. Bring that back. I feel like that would work in Insomniac Spider-Man.
Hell yeah, dude. But yeah, you can check that out now on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and the PS I Love You XOXO podcast feed. Over on Patreon, there's new Remember Blank going up where the crew remembers their favorite Comic-Con memories. And I want to give a shout out to our Patreon producers, Jedi Master Deadpool and Delaney Twining. Thank you so much for your support. Today we're brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have five stories today.
A Baker's Dozen!
I played NeverSoft Spider-Man for the first time on the Nintendo 64.
Was it on the Nintendo 64?
Oh, it was, and it was rough. But I didn't know. I was a dumb kid.
I don't think I realized the differences. That.
I mean, the N64 had so many issues, mainly that like the CDs could hold so much more data than the cartridges could. So like the sound quality was just absolute garbage.
Terrible, yeah.
The amount of sound that could even be on it was like lessened, so like the loops would be a lot quicker. Like I remember, I even played Tony Hawk 1. My first Tony Hawk experience was N64.
That's insane.
Blasphemy.
That's insane.
But it couldn't even hold an entire song from Tony Hawk. Like it would loop after like 45 seconds.
That's fucked up.
Yeah. It was real bad.
My first Tony Hawk experience was a demo on PC.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, at my friend's house. And they had to tear me away from that computer. Mm-hmm. Like it was a problem because I kept playing and I was like, what is this game? Like, yep. I'm having such a good time.
So damn good. But story number one. Microsoft completes Activision Blizzard acquisition. This comes from Tom Warren at The Verge. Microsoft has finalized its $68.7 billion deal to acquire Activision Blizzard, the publisher of Call of Duty, World of Warcraft, and Diablo. The Verge exclusively reported last week that Microsoft was planning to close today, and now it's official. The acquisition required 20 months of battles with regulators in the UK and US, but Microsoft has closed its Activision Blizzard deal after defeating the Federal Trade Commission. Why did you need to phrase it that way? First off, the acquisition required 20 months of battles, which like we've reported on, so I understand it, but also
it was 20 months of battles.
20 months of battles is a long time, but also the battles is hilarious. But do they
makes it sound like war?
Defeated the Federal Trade Commission in
like, they want to say Trade Federation so bad, like they want to make this Star Wars.
I did. Where's Newt Gunray at? And restructuring the deal to appease the Competition and Markets Authority, the CMA, in the UK. Quote, we love gaming. We play games, create games, and know firsthand how much gaming means to all of us as individuals and collectively as a community. And today, we officially welcome Activision Blizzard and their teams to Xbox, says Xbox chief Phil Spencer. As one team, we'll learn, innovate, and continue to deliver on our promise to bring the joy and community of gaming to more people. We'll do this in a culture that strives to empower everyone to do their best work, where all people are welcome, and is centered on our ongoing commitment of gaming for everyone. The deal is Microsoft's largest acquisition ever, far in excess of the $26 billion Microsoft paid to acquire LinkedIn in 2016 and the $7.5 billion it paid to acquire Bethesda in 2021. This is Microsoft's biggest ever push into gaming, and the company said at the original announcement of this mega deal that it will now be the third largest gaming company by revenue behind Tencent and Sony. Microsoft now plans to add many of Activision Blizzard's games to Xbox Game Pass. Quote, today we start the work to bring beloved Activision, Blizzard, and King franchises to Game Pass and other platforms, which we will share more about when you can expect to play in the coming months. We know you're excited, and we are too.
Nice to have that weight off of our shoulders.
Yep.
Of like the anticipation, the speculation, the what does this mean, the CMA blocking it, but then also, what about the FTC? Oh, but what about like Europe, right? Like, I'm glad that we're past all this, and now we're just at the final moment of, hey, like, this happened. We can now talk about it as official, right? Like, this is a thing that that's going down. A few fascinating things, right? Like, Microsoft being the third behind Tencent and Sony. If you would ask me to rank like the top three, like who are the top three highest earning revenues in video games? Like I don't think I would have done Sony, Tencent, and then Microsoft in that order.
Definitely not.
Like
it wasn't that order though. Tencent's first.
Wait, is Tencent first?
I mean, at least in order of how they said it here, behind Tencent and Sony. I don't know if that is ranked, but It says third largest gaming company by revenue behind Tencent and Sony.
That is wild.
It is. Yeah.
But yeah, like that stuck out to me in terms of like, damn, that's crazy. That's wild. But then the other thing is here, there was a Xbox organization chart that was tweeted out by Clobriel and Barrett. I have that at the top, at the bottom of the article, if you want to pull it up. And it really does a good job at displaying just like how wild this is, right? Like when you look at the amount of studios that you have under Activision, right? The amount of studios in IP, I should say, that are under Blizzard, and how you compare that to Bethesda and how you compare that to Xbox Game Studios. like they're triple the size of a Sony, right? They're the size of a Nintendo. This is ridiculous when you look at it all zoomed out like this.
It's utterly ridiculous because what we're looking at here are teams. These are not games. I feel like other companies couldn't even do this with game logos.
Oh, right? Yeah.
So this is actually teams that a lot of these have multiple teams within them that can be working on multiple projects. It's absolutely wild. I love that my boy Crash is getting some love there. Real quick, of course, there's memes for days and everybody's tweeting about this from every perspective. The most important one I saw was from Mike Minotti, who says, can't believe Microsoft has owned Activision for literally hours and still hasn't announced a new Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
Mm.
And I'm with you, man. Mm. I'm with
bars.
You.
Bars right there.
But yeah, this is wild. And like to your point of, you know, it's been 20 months of battles that we're finally on this other side of. It's done. We can move on. Obviously, we're going to be talking about the ramifications of this for years forever. To come, yeah. Potentially forever. And what excites me about this is that we're finally moving on from at least this era of the legal battles and FTC's not letting me be and all that stuff. That, like
the thing I will say in terms of like, you know, shout out to all this happening. I've learned so much.
So much, dude.
I've learned
straight
so
up.
Much about how the legal system works,
yep.
About how acquisitions work, right? About trials and like having different territories, having their own different divisions that are responsible and having to go through all of those. I've become a changed man. I feel like I'm taking a college course.
Honestly, that's what it is. Yeah. Are we experts? Absolutely not.
No.
Not even close. But we're at least aware of a couple like, things that we were not before.
Next time this happens, we're going to be so equipped.
Yes.
You're like, all right, what does the FTC thing? All right. Hey, well, how does this apply to cloud gaming?
Yeah.
Well, like, we are so set for the
next exactly.
time.
But what excites me is, although we got to learn a lot all that, we are now in our Duffy. We are now going to be able to talk about things we understand, which is video games and how that all works within the ecosystem. So we'll see how this all starts to shake out over the coming weeks, months, years. But Phil, in his messaging here, seems pretty dead set on we will start seeing things soon in terms of like what is coming to Game Pass.
What do you think we see first?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, this is that funny, troubling issue where they technically weren't really allowed to be making plans officially until things are done. Now that things are done, how much have things not formally been planned out? But they already know. Yeah. Right, cool. Pull that lever.
Now
they
can put things on paper officially.
Exactly. Yeah. You know?
When are we getting Tony Hawk on Game Pass, Tim?
Dude, that's the thing. I think what I'm most interested in is how extensive this all is because there's so many different strategies that Microsoft can employ now in terms of Game Pass. Of are they going to do more of a drip feed type thing and like treat things like events of dropping? Here's the Tony Hawk games, whatever one they end up adding. Again, licensing issues with music. I feel like so much of Activision's back catalog is unlikely to show up when you start looking at like the old Marvel games or Activision's just had so many IP-based things or even like licensed soundtrack type games that I don't know that we'll ever
like
actually
Guitar
see
Hero.
Them. Guitar Hero is a great example, right? All of those things I doubt that are going to pop up. And if they do, it's going to be exciting. Are they going to want to do that as one giant drop of, yo, every single thing we could possibly put on Game Pass now is there? Or do they kind of do, here's the Call of Duty collection, here's this collection, and like try to make moments out of it?
I mean, that's the Nintendo way of doing
exactly. it. Exactly. And like for the first time ever, Microsoft has enough of a back catalog due to this acquisition to pull a Nintendo.
Yeah. Man, I'm fascinated about this on the side of, I imagine it's so overwhelming for the Xbox leadership team to look at this and go, all right, like where do we even start with all this, right? Because you talk about the different IP, you talk about the different franchises and brands that you have under Activision Blizzard, let alone what you had as Xbox already, let alone what you have under the Bethesda brand. And you know, you look at the army of studios that you have as Xbox studios now between Bethesda, Activision Blizzard, and it is, how do we divide this up? What do we bring back? You know, you bring up names like Guitar Hero. We bring up names like Tony Hawk, right? And these are well-known, legendary franchises that have, like, you know, been a mainstay in video games, or at least had their moment in time where when you think about video games, you think about these franchises, right? Like, Guitar Hero has been that. Tony Hawk has been that. Are you going to bring those back? How do you bring those back? Are they worth bringing those back? And there's so many conversations to have in terms of, like, going franchise to franchise and asking the questions of, how do we bring this back, even if we do?
And dude, what's so interesting is there's so many different elements to talk about here where you say bring back.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean bring back old ones to Game Pass? Does that mean bring back new iterations? Does that mean reboot, remake, sequel?
And yeah, all of that, right? Like, even in my head, it, obviously, like, franchise per franchise, but I look at Guitar Hero and we talk about how, yeah, it's probably difficult to just bring a Guitar Hero back because of all the licensing stuff involved, right? If you're going to bring back Guitar Hero, I guess you bring it back as a reboot, but then it is, are we going to do the physical thing? You have to if it's Guitar Hero. Is that viable? Best Buys aren't even selling physical media anymore. Like, are people going to show up to Best Buy to buy a Guitar Hero guitar? You know, you start to ask those questions. You go over to Tony Hawk and you go, all right, like Tony Hawk 3 plus 4, do we greenlight it? Do we make that a thing? Is that going to be worth, please do, but is that going to be worthwhile for us as Xbox? Or do we make a new Tony Hawk? Do we make a Tony Hawk platform? You know, do we make a games as a service Tony Hawk?
And so
who's going to make
Tony Hawk Infinite?
Oh, dude, I'll fucking take it, please. What's extra exciting to me about this, and again, there's pros and cons, obviously. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at this now. We've talked about so many of the cons for months. We've talked about so many of the pros for months. With where this is at, looking at this infographic, as a gamer that's excited to play games, there's a lot to be excited about. And Activision has always been one of the biggest players in the game, but they never felt like they had the presence that a lot of the other groups did. And I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that they didn't ever have E3 press conferences, right? Mm-hmm. They would have E3 shows. Like, I remember, like, but Eminem comes out and Rihanna comes out and they do a concert for the people that are there. They're not making announcements at their own showcase. Like, that's just not Activision's MO. But they will show up. Call of Duty will show up at whoever's the biggest dick in the room that year between PlayStation or Xbox, that generation, right, at their shows and take up a big part of their showcase. That's kind of changed over the years to Call of Duty kind of having its own showcases and own events.
Call of Duty event.
Year after year, because Call of Duty's kind of just become the biggest thing ever. But Call of Duty's also kind of become Activision. Activision's become Call of Duty. They've become one in the same. I feel what's so exciting about this is we think when we start doing our predictions for Summer Game Fest E3 timeframe Microsoft showcase, what the fuck is that going to look like,
Bless? I mean, it's not going to be called the Xbox Bethesda showcase anymore, right? It's going to be called the Xbox Bethesda Activision showcase, King Blizzard. Or they just call it Xbox.
That's the thing is, like, I wonder at what point, like, do they keep Activision as a name? They kept Bethesda because Bethesda meant something good. Does Activision mean anything good?
I think so. I think it's that weird tiered layer thing of when you go online and you find the gamers that are on the Reddits, that are on the forums, that are on, like, that are, you know, really in their duffy in terms of being in the know. For a lot of that, our audience, no. Like, they see the name Activision and it is, oh, the Call of Duty guys that keep making the same game every year and, like, money hungry and all. Like, that is what you think of when you think of Activision. But when you zoom out and you just think of what Activision, the name Activision means to anybody who's just familiar with video games, there is a legacy there, right? There is the idea of, oh, Activision was the name that was at the top of, like, the Tony Hawk game that I booted up, or the Guitar Hero, or Call of Duty. And Call of Duty does mean a good thing for so many people, even though when you're in the duffy, then it's like, okay, well, maybe I might have issues here and there. It is still a big name in the way that, yeah, I think you do keep the name. I also think you keep the name in the sense that the Xbox as a publisher now is the biggest publisher ever. And I think it gets really confusing now when you, if you were to get rid of the Bethesda and Activision names and King and Blizzard and go, this is all just Microsoft now, I think then it gets really muddy. I think you need these divisions to help define what these things are.
Totally see where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. Businessman Tim, who's not a businessman. I'm not a businessman. I'm a business man. So I had to do it. I had to fucking do it. I would totally just fucking do it, even with Bethesda. Keep Bethesda Softworks. Right, GameWorks as a team, but it's Xbox, but that's the Game Studio. Bethesda Game Studio.
Yeah, you're thinking of the other one.
Yeah,
there's a Softworks in there.
Keep those as the different teams, but have it be Xbox Game Studios. Get rid of the Activision, get rid of the Bethesda, and fucking own it. Because everything you just said about Activision, and people think about Activision, they see the splash title before. Imagine if it was Xbox. You're building that brand. You're getting people to be like, damn. The moment they can get the general populace to think, when they think Call of Duty, they think Xbox, which I don't know that will ever happen. Mm-hmm. Even if Xbox, or even if Call of Duty is on PlayStation, which it's going to be, if that starts off with that Xbox, it's like that.
I think it'll powerful, be there regardless. Man. Like, I think you get
both of them. Yeah,
I think you get the Xbox logo and the Activision logo at the top of Call of Duty when you boot it up on PlayStation. you know, I think you're going to get, and kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Is it like that with Minecraft already? Let me know. Cause I assume it's
there. It's like that with Psychonauts. Like you get the Xbox logo if you play Psychonauts 2 on PlayStation.
So already, I think you're going to have that branding. I think it's that tough thing too, where I have no idea how this is going to go for Xbox, right? Like I think in terms of the money move aspect of it, right? I think they're doing the right thing for Xbox and Microsoft in terms of, hey, now we have access to it all. We have access to Activision. We have access to it. We own it all. From the strategy and planning aspect of this, man, again, I put myself in the shoes of a Phil Spencer or the shoes of anybody who's at the top of Xbox Game Studios having to organize all this. And, you know, we talk about PlayStation and Nintendo as far as Nintendo has an identity. Nintendo has organization. Nintendo, like, there is an expectation you have when Nintendo announces a new game. You can see the vibrancy of it. You can see the charm of it. You can see what a Nintendo game is, and there's a level of quality associated there because Nintendo works with Nintendo, and, like, you know, there is a standard. PlayStation is the same thing. When we think of PlayStation Studios, you think of Horizon, Last of Us, Uncharted, God of War. There is an expectation and a level of quality that you expect out of that because it's PlayStation. Both PlayStation and Nintendo, I think, have this catalog of studios that are manageable in that sort of way, right? Like they are, in terms of studios, right? They are sized like a publisher that you can have that kind of collaboration between teams. Xbox, again, I don't know the official number now that you have for studios, but again, you are triple the size of either Nintendo or PlayStation in terms of the game studios you have. And so I think in that way, you got to have Activision. You got to have Bethesda, right? They have to be able to organize, and Bethesda games have to feel like Bethesda games.
I think so that's so interesting because you're right. Like the breadth, the amount of content there is just organization is key and important for just like the sanity of consumers and from the people leading the business.
Yeah.
But to your point about the Nintendo, PlayStation, Xbox side of things, I'll even add Ubisoft to that as well, because I feel like Ubisoft is the most comparable to one of them in terms of the amount of worldwide studios that they have. Mm-hmm. It's funny to look at Nintendo where, and I, of course, people that listen to the show and people that are on video game forums and stuff know more than most people about this stuff. But the reality is Nintendo doesn't present its games as anything more than Nintendo games.
Yep.
They don't present it as this team's game or this team's game. It's about the game, meaning Nintendo. The energy, the understanding of Nintendo, that is through every single thing that they put out. That's why there's an excitement because it almost feels equal. Like, we might know what team's working on this game versus that game, but the reality is Nintendo's making this game. Mm-hmm. PlayStation has done a great job of making it about the team and the game. People know about Sony Santa Monica, Naughty Dog, Insomniac, Guerrilla differently than they do the Nintendo teams.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying every single person in the world, but I am saying I think it's pretty fair to say that a lot more people know about Naughty Dog than...
Yeah, I feel like the mainstream, like if you're watching Game Awards on Spike TV, if Game Awards is still on Spike TV, if you see the Naughty Dog logo, that means something to a lot of people that are watching.
Yeah, whereas the Nintendo logo means something to people.
Not Nintendo EAD or whatever.
Exactly. And you look at Xbox, they clearly want to go the way of Xbox. Sorry, of PlayStation. Mm-hmm. They don't want to do the Nintendo thing, right?
Yeah.
So because of that, I feel like I think that there is a future where they get rid of the Bethesda and Activision and it's Xbox and they focus more on the teams that are making those games because like that infographic is powerful. Yeah. And if they can, I think, fix the wrongs of Activision, of which there are many, 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 but one of them that I want to focus on here is what they did to Activision as a whole. Activision had many, many teams working on many, many projects, many IP, all this stuff. Then they took all of them and consolidated it to... You guys are working on Call of Duty and Overwatch, and that's it. Mm-hmm. I feel like getting rid of the Activision part of it, or keep the Activision, make it Activision, like rebrand Activision to mean specific things, whatever those are, whether it's even just Call of Duty is made by Activision.
Yeah, cool.
You know,
yeah.
Which is that, and I hate to say this even, but the combined team of the Vicarious Visions and the, you know, all the different Call of Duty, Sledgehammer, Infinity War, like all of those, Treyarch, exactly. But then you look at a Toys for Bob and you let them live, separate them from Activision. Xbox Game Studios,
and
Toys
I can
for Bob.
See that. I think that makes sense if you were to take a Toys for Bob and go, hey, we're not branding you Activision anymore. We are branding you Xbox. And you go to like wherever that works. I don't know how many more places that works, right? Like, if I was to get random, right, like Obsidian, you work better for Activision. Like, I don't think that is, but like, you know, I totally understand the idea of how do we lean this up in a way where Activision means something, right? When you think, when you see Activision, sure, let's say you think Call of Duty. Let's really double down and like, hey, if you're on Activision and you're not making Call of Duty, we're just going to make you Xbox Game Studio now, right? Hey, if you're Bethesda and like you're working on, let's say we give you an IP and now you're, as a Bethesda Game Studio, your main IP is Gears of War, we're just going to make you an Xbox thing, right? Like, I think dividing in that way could work. I get really nervous about the idea of just the breadth of studios and the organizational aspect of, you know, I'm admittedly, right, I'm not the most educated on like who all has what role at Xbox in the way that I understand it more for PlayStation. But at Xbox, there, I imagine there's somebody who's in charge of Xbox Game Studios who is, hey, you report to me for, you know, checking up on what the first party projects are, right? Like, my job is first party and making sure that we all got our shit together. I can't imagine being that person and being in charge of it all, right? You gotta have,
feel 10, like you need it.
You gotta have 10 of those people.
But I, yeah.
You gotta have an, like, that is now a team.
Oh,
like,
I mean,
that job that would be one or two people, that is,
oh, for sure,
10 people.
Now. But I still think it all goes up to Phil. And yeah, then under Phil, you get that leadership team to expand and have focus in different areas.
I think the way you do that is, I think, let's say Phil is the one at the top, right? You have Phil at the top, but then you also have somebody who's in, who is, you are the Blizzard person and you are in charge of making sure Blizzard projects are good, right? You are the first party Activision person. This is your division. You are the Bethesda person. That's your division. And you are the Xbox Game Studios person. This is your division. I think that is four different people
king.
That have to, and the king person, right? So let's say that's, you are five different people who are now reporting to me, Phil Spencer, who is at the top of it all, making sure that as a business, Xbox first party is operating well, right? But like, I think each of these divisions, Xbox, Bethesda, Activision, Blizzard, and King, have to have people at the top of each in order for that to work, just because it's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. But I mean, we know already, like, even just the leadership team over at Xbox, right? With like, with Sarah Bondu and stuff, with Matt Booty, with like all of them there, and even with Bethesda, like their team, they kept all of them, right? And it's just like they let them keep functioning the way that they have. We'll see. There's going to be so many questions to be answered here,
yeah.
But I think the fact that now these acquisitions are completed, both the Bethesda one being done a couple years ago, and now we're a couple years in, so I feel like we are finally at the point that Bethesda is pure Xbox. There's not questions of, will this come here, will this come there, whatever. It's like they have, I mean, Starfield being the shining example of that. We are still now years away from seeing this moment for Activision, Blizzard, King, of what that actually looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that, I think we're going to have a lot of insane games dailies coming up where we wake up and Xbox Wire posts a blog post that like saying some shit that we're like, for reals? Like,
I hope
you're
so.
Doing what?
Like, I hope so. Like, I think in terms of, obviously we've talked about the cons and all this stuff for industry consolidation, and I stand by all that, right? But like, I am excited to see what are the ways in which Activision is going to change in the exciting ways. Are we going to see, like, Bobby Kotick had the quote earlier this week that I take with a grain of salt, but like, he was talking about the return of Guitar Hero, and I'm like, are we going to see that? Because that could be exciting, right? Are we going to see Crash Bandicoot get more games?
Crash, Spyro, Tony Hawk, man.
Give Banjo-Kazooie to Toys for Bob, my guy.
Straight up. Straight
Somebody
up.
Do that. You know, like, when we start seeing those moves, that's going to be an exciting time. And I'm very excited for those games dailies.
Yep. Gonna be absolutely wild. Let's move on to story number two here. Controversial Activision Blizzard boss Bobby Kotick to remain CEO until end of 2023. This comes from Wesley Yinpool at IGN. Following confirmation of Microsoft's buyout of Activision Blizzard, controversial CEO Bobby Kotick has confirmed he will remain the boss of the Call of Duty maker only until the end of 2023. In an email to Activision Blizzard employees, Kotick said to Xbox boss, Phil Spencer had asked him to stick around as CEO to the end of this year, suggesting an exit in 2024. I have long said that I'm fully committed to helping with the transition. Phil's asked me to stay on as CEO of APK, reporting to him, and we have agreed that I will do that through the end of this year. We both look forward to working together on a smooth integration for our teams and players. Absolutely no surprise here. You know,
yeah.
Like, obviously, fuck Bobby Kotick. We've talked about that a million times, and we will continue to do so. He's going to be gone in a couple months. He's going to be gone with way more money than this motherfucker deserves.
Yeah, that's the tough thing about it is that, like, of course, wish this was like, Bobby Kotick is out today. I think on the realistic side of it, right, like, I'm sure there has to be a transitional period for it to be the baton pass, but at least it sounds like he's going to be gone sooner or later, and that is a good thing. Of course, he's going to make a lot of money. He's already made a lot of money.
Here's the thing. The way I see this is, yes, it would be nice for him to just fucking get booted and be like, no, fuck you.
Yeah.
That's not how business works. That's not how life works. And the team needs a transition. And him being underfilled, this is what needs to happen to give Xbox the best chance at an active, everybody involved the best chance at having a better future and having that future happen smoother and quicker than possible otherwise. But yeah, I also, it's October 13th. Mm-hmm. We're talking about 2.5 months.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah, I thought you were making it Friday the 13th.
No.
Just like, it's, this like, is our luck. You know? He's gonna be here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really hope he's gone by 2024.
And I mean, I think that he will be. I think that, like, maybe not January 1st, but I do think that that what they're saying here is going to actually stick. But we won't have to wait too long to find out about that. We have Sonic Superstars review roundup coming up. But before we get to that, Bless, let me tell you a word from our sponsors.
This episode's brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. The NFL season is going strong, and DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking new customers up with an offer that's even stronger. You can bet $5 on any game this week to score $200 instantly in bonus bets, and DraftKings isn't stopping there. All customers can take advantage of a sweetener offer every game this October. Now, there's a ton of these football games happening, and each and every one, you're going to want to be there on DraftKings Sportsbook. You can get in on the game day greatness. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, and you can use code Kinda Funny. New customers can score $200 instantly in bonus bets when you bet $5 on the NFL. That's code Kinda Funny only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. The crown is yours. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, you can call 1-877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY, which is 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. You can call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort KS, licensee partner Golden Nugget Lake Charles, LA. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in ONT. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms for eligibility and deposit restrictions. Terms responsible gaming resources.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Story number three, Sonic Superstars review roundup. It's currently sitting at a 74 on Metacritic and a 74 on OpenCritic. Jada Griffin at IGN gave it a 7 out of 10, saying, I started Hedgehog over heels for Sonic Superstars, but the more time I put into it, the easier it was for me to see its Eggman-sized flaws. The decision to focus more on exploration was a great idea on paper and creates a unique dynamic to each level, but I wish it hadn't sacrificed speed in exchange. The boss designs are creative and clever, but often wear out their welcome with long periods of being untargetable and occasionally frustrating one-hit KO mechanics. The soundtrack may not have anything as iconic as Hydro City or Spring Yard Zone, but it features some excellent additions to an already long list of Sonic bangers. If only the sound design was up to the same quality standard. And while the campaign is still enjoyable, Superstars multiplayer components are far worse options than anything in past Sonic games.
Wow.
Like digging emeralds out of the rough, Sonic Superstars' new ideas end up feeling like a mix of both interesting and ill-advised, making it an amusing Sonic game, but not exactly a super one. God bless. There was always a beef between is it Hydro City or Hydrosity.
Mm-hmm. Wait, which one did you say? I missed it.
Well, it's spelled. They put a space here. They very clearly are Team Hydro City.
And I'm with it, Jada.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm Hydro City all the way.
Yeah, Hydro City definitely makes more sense based on what the zone is.
Yeah.
But like,
it's a Hydro City.
It's Hydrosity, baby.
It's not a Hydrosity.
Hydrosity Zone. It's just fun to say.
It is fun to say. And I'll accept that in many of our hearts it is Hydrosity because it's the Sega Genesis and the fucking words just put together. It's Hydro City. Let's be real.
I love it,
man. Let's be real.
I love it. Damn. I just want to stop because I thought that was a very well-written review.
It was, yeah.
And with everything said there, this really bums me out because, well, first off, we haven't played this yet.
No.
We didn't get codes for this, which little weird. I don't necessarily think that there was shenanigans at play, but I do think it's surprising we didn't get codes for this, because we normally do get codes for these things, and like we did request them. But I'm bummed out because this review, like just the first time we saw the game, I feel like we could have wrote this review already.
Yeah.
Like that bums me out. Yeah. That, like, it just, it delivered exactly what it looked like, and it should have been more. It really should have been more.
It's the part where Jada says that the new ideas end up feeling like a mix of both interesting and ill-advised. That's the part where you're hoping that, okay, maybe the new, hopefully the new ideas are the thing they get right. Right, because that is what you want out of this. The art style isn't necessarily the most appealing thing to me. The like,
in fact, unappealing.
Unappealing, yeah. Like it's like just make a Sonic Mania. Like just make it the thing that we want. But yeah, like I don't really like how the art style is, and like for me that's such a huge factor into a 2D Sonic game. But like, hopefully the soundtrack hits. I don't know if the soundtrack's gonna hit. Right, like even if those two things slip up, for this game that looks like it's trying to do new things, at least I hope the new things hit. And Jada not liking the new things. I'm like, ah, damn. All right, cool. Well, here we are.
Here we are. Chris Scullion at VGC gives it a 4 out of 5, saying Sonic Superstars absolutely nails the classic 16-bit Sonic gameplay. Its power-ups are hit or miss, and its extra modes and co-op will divide opinion. But fans of the Mega Drive / Genesis days will adore the way this mixes that old feel with a new look. And then Alex Donaldson at VG247 says gives it a 3 out of 5. In its core mission, Sonic Superstars is successful. It recreates the foundation of 2D Sonic, some of the finest platformers ever made. Well, good for you, Alex.
Hello, Alex.
Good for you.
stick to your truth.
Unfortunately, the new elements layered atop that are rather hit or miss. I personally don't think this is anywhere near as good as Mania, but it's good. In fact, it's good enough that I expect fan debate about which game's superior to be fairly heated, which is a surefire sign that Sega's on the right track. See, this review gets me interested.
Yeah.
I think he's wild here saying that there might be debate between this and
Mania.
Yeah,
I don't think there's going to be debate between Mania.
That. But look, here's the thing. Does any of this make you want to play this game less?
Not really, if I'm being honest. Like, it's Sonic. And so, like, so I saw somebody in chat, we'd be like, oh, man, like, press F for Sonic or whatever. Like, damn, like, what a L. And it's like, bro, it's Sonic. 7 out of 10s for Sonic is par for the course.
This just feels
as part of the
expected
experience.
And, like, that's, if anything, I'm disappointed it's not more. But it's not like I expected it to be more. You know, I just wanted it. Like, I just hope. I mean, Mania was one of those, like, things that just... That was a dream fucking come true. I can't believe that game actually exists and is as good as it is. But it still exists. It's still there.
I can go back
and play
Sonic Origins with the bugs. Like, still love
most
it.
Most of those are fixed.
Yeah.
The Sonic Origins Plus came out.
Yeah, and then Plus came out and then like reintroduced a bunch of new bullshit.
Little fucking
but
thing.
Yeah, like I mean, flashback to about a year ago, I guess 11 months ago, where I reviewed Sonic Frontiers, and my review started with Sonic Frontiers is a 3 out of 5 game that I love, like a 5 out of 5. Like, this is part for the course. This is part of what it is. Like, I'm going to play Sonic Superstars and either love it despite its flaws or like it fine. And like, I think for me, as somebody who likes these games and I play them probably mostly for the nostalgia of it and just for the, I just like this type of game experience of it, I'll be fine.
T-Lopes is doing some of the music.
Yeah.
We're going to have a good time.
Yeah, you know? Tails is there.
Tails is there.
Knuckles is there.
He's adorable.
He plays Amy Rose and she has a hammer.
She's there. She's a hammer.
Well, that's what it's all about.
All right, we'll see. Well, check in with us next week. I have a feeling that Bless and I will have some thoughts on this at some point.
Now, what sucks is that, I mean, since we didn't get codes, right? And when does Mario Wonder come out? I forget.
The 20th.
Like, and this is out, what, the 17th?
Monday, yeah.
We'll see when you get opinions from me.
I don't think we're going to get a full review from us on this one.
Because I'm probably going to play Wonder before this.
Yeah.
Unless, like, well, I guess it's Sonic, so I could knock it out in probably a day and a half. We'll see.
We'll see. Story number 4. Ubisoft exec says physical sales may continue to fall, but they're not going away. This comes from Tom Ivan at IGN. Ubisoft executive Chris Early foresees a future where physical game sales may continue to decline, but he doesn't think they'll ever go away completely. The Assassin's Creed publisher recently agreed to acquire cloud gaming rights outside the European Economic Area for all Activision Blizzard games released over the next 15 years, because that makes sense to everybody. And while the company is betting on streaming revolutionizing the games industry in the same way it's transformed the TV and film businesses, Early, who was an influential figure in the negotiations for the Activision rights, thinks physical sales will always have a place. There's a collector edition market, Ubisoft's SVP Strategic Partnerships and Business Development told the company's website. There's the aspect of gifting physical items in allowing access for people to be able to easily purchase a game in a store and gift them to their friends or family. Some people will always want to own the physical disc. I just don't think it's going away. Do I think physical sales might get lower over time? Sure. But will it ever completely go away? I don't think so.
You watched the Tetris movie, right?
I did.
One of my favorite parts of that movie was arguably the whole movie, where it was, hey, let's spend this entire film arguing about who has the like PC rights versus the cartridge rights versus the handheld rights. And like that was the entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it was riveting content.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this would make a good modern version of that. Is like, hey, and this will be the sequel, honestly. It's about Call of Duty and the whole Activision Blizzard thing. And now like we're introducing a new rights. It's the cloud streaming rights outside of the European Economic Area.
Yeah.
Let's just make a whole movie about how the fuck we nail it down. Mean, to those
hopefully
specific
you can
rights.
Explain it so that it makes sense to me. Because bless, it doesn't make sense to me still. No matter, people, I've seen the chat, I've seen comments, people tweeting at me about the shit. I'm like, I still don't get why it's Ubisoft.
Oh, why it's Ubisoft?
Yeah.
Because they like streaming stuff.
Oh, no. Because like
you needed somebody. Remember when you could play Odyssey on a browser that one week?
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
You needed like a good third party who, like, you needed somebody who wasn't Microsoft, obviously. You needed somebody who probably wasn't PlayStation because that's your direct competition. Like, not Nintendo either.
I think Ubisoft got involved.
I think Ubisoft is the perfect, hey, you don't, like you don't really have a stake in this.
This is the plot of a Disney Channel original. This fucking thing got me again.
Yeah, no, it got me just now, too.
God damn. What?
She's been there for a while.
I know, but
yeah,
it's
but we're locked
out
in.
Out of my mind. We're locked.
Yeah,
man.
We're talking about Ubisoft just here. Right now.
But this is the plot of a Disney Channel original movie where they're just like, who's going to get off the bench? And then Ubisoft stands up. It's just like, I could do it.
They're like, oh, snap. Do we want you? Do we want you to do it? No, I think it legitimately is Ubisoft is like such a non-competitor in everything that's going on here that like, and they have, as Ubisoft, we have something to gain, right? Like, oh, yeah, we get to make money by licensing Call of Duty streaming rights. Sure, and like we get to license it back to Activision. Fuck yeah. Like if Activision came to you, Tim, and we're like, hey, we want to give you the rights.
Kind of funny. Gets the rights, I'd be like, we'll figure it
yeah,
out.
Yeah, we want to give you the rights to Call of Duty. And you get to license it to anybody, including us, outside mm-hmm. of the European Economic Area. We'd take the rights.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of money.
Yep.
Like, cool, yeah, we'd do it because we're a third party in this. We don't have anything to gain or lose
based on
the fucking legalese of everything. Like, It's surprising, it's weird, it's left field, but I think it makes sense.
Yeah.
It's just weird. Yeah, it's just weird.
Totally, totally. Going back to the actual story here about the physical sales stuff, I mean, it's just, this is a funny non-story. Like, this is definitely just taking a quote that some dude said and, like, turn it into a thing.
Yeah.
The reality is, physical games are going to go away. And I think they're going to go away a lot sooner than any of us would like them to. I am very, very sore, bless.
Uh-huh.
Still sore. Over the last year, my heart has just been shrinking and getting darker and darker as every time I went to a Best Buy and saw the aisles of Blu-rays get smaller and smaller and smaller to the point that they're just not there anymore. Then you go to a Target, they're not there anymore. They're just not in the stores
anymore. What are in the
aisles
now? Like, do you go to, what are people buying in Best Buy?
I don't fucking know, bless. Like, that's an excellent question.
Yeah.
Smart home stuff. And
like
workout stuff.
Yeah.
It's
do they still have like the camera section?
They have cameras. Yeah. They have Legos now.
What?
It's like
Wait,
GameStop.
Best Buy?
Yeah, dude. It's
Why?
Like GameStop selling Funko Pops, man. That's how it feels. It's really, really
Is
sad
Best
out
Buy
there.
Best Buy in trouble? I'm not kept up with Best Buy.
I don't fucking know. I mean, probably. But they announced yesterday, bless. Best Buy announced that officially, late this year or early next year, they're going to stop selling physical movies.
That's so messed up.
Period. Not even online. Just gone.
Where are you supposed to get these things then?
I don't fucking know. Because Best Buy was the spot. Best Buy was like the leading place for in America, at least, for like exclusive steelbooks and all that stuff. And that's to the point of Tom Ivan here about there is an audience for the collector's edition and the special things and wanting to kind of just own something you love, even if you like you can get it on streaming for free, for cheap, whatever it is. People still want to own this thing. And like there's a lot of sickos like me out there that do. But they don't give a fuck. That it's dwindled enough. Like I was seeing stats that it's just like, these like having them was losing them money. Like Jesus. They literally weren't making enough money from this shit.
Is Games Target also way. All gone, or is that just like city Targets and stuff?
No,
like,
the big Targets, the two giant Targets here, don't have Blu-rays right now.
Fuck.
Yeah, man.
That's sad.
It's wild.
Someone else was saying Barnes & Noble. I don't know what the closest Barnes & Noble is.
Barnes & Noble, there's one in Tanforan. And it does, it has a small, but it does have a physical section, which I've been having to go buy some recent movies there. And their shit is fucking outlandishly overpriced. Like, there's like retail, which is not how people fucking buy these things. So anyway, all that's to say, video games are not going to be physical for much longer. I think that...
Define much longer.
That gets hard because of how generations work with games, but I think that there is a high likelihood that the next generation of PlayStation and Xbox do not have disc drives.
Wow.
There could be a way that it's an optional thing that you can buy it. I mean,
that's
PlayStation's
what I think
even
is
kind
happen.
Of building in here, but
I think the detachable disc drive PS5 that got announced, I think that's going to be the standard. I think by the time we get to the PlayStation 6, it is going to be a digital console, but you will be able to attach a detachable disc drive if you buy it separately.
Yeah.
Because I think you're right in terms of the amount of physical media for games is going to decrease substantially, because you look at the sales of the Xbox One S, you look at probably the amount, like, I would look to see the sales of the digital version of the PlayStation versus the physical version, because, you know, I think that'll probably be very telling in terms of where people are at. But as PlayStation, as Xbox, you're making a lot more money on the digital side as opposed to like having to pay like all these different third-party aspects on the physical side, right? Whether it be Best Buy, whether it be all these things. And so, yeah, like, I think you have a reason to want to push the audience toward digital. And I think the audience is just like veering more and more in that direction. But I think we're still at a place where all digital isn't a viable way to do this for enough people. Like we talk about the rural areas and people who don't have access to good internet and all that stuff. I think there's still enough of those people out there where you can't completely eliminate it yet. Maybe by the PlayStation 7 we can, but
I think it's by the PS6. I think that like the people you're talking about, I think with this is the tech and systems in place and like the way of the world, like we can say all this all we want of like, oh, how are they going to do it? It's like, well, how do they watch TV and movies? Because TV and movies don't give a fuck about them not having physical stuff. That's all digital, right? And sure, like you look at games now, Alan Wake 2. Digital.
Yeah, but you don't have to download 150 gigabytes to watch a movie.
Yeah, I mean, you have to download a lot with the bitrate and stuff. Like, maybe not 150 gigs, but you're cloud streaming 4K services, or you're not. or
they're not.
You
like,
just don't have the ability to do that, and, so
like,
you don't.
I think there's a lot of people that probably don't. Like, I think there's enough people. I think we're in the, not minority necessarily, but we are, we're an echelon of person, Tim, that like is doing 4K, is like experiencing these things at the highest fidelity possible because we have the luxury to do it. But I think there's a lot of people out there that are, dude, I'm watching this shit at 720p because
the internet
that I
have. Are. Yeah. But I feel like that those people, they're still doing that. You know what I mean?
But I also don't think those people are also the people to buy physical. Right. I don't know if those are the same people that are ready to go all digital with their game.
I don't know, man. I think that the fact that we're seeing big games come out digital only, like huge games, it's like, all right, like that to me is a telltale sign that they're like, yeah, you know what? We don't need those people buying the games because
that's fair.
We're making enough up from the other things. And if we just triple down on that, again, I'm very salty because I love physical stuff. But again, the game side of it for me, and you're right, very privileged in a different position with this stuff, like I prefer digital games. I can't remember the last time I played a game off of a disc. Even if I like had the disc, I would try to get the digital version to play that, because normally the SSD,
I don't think I've played,
installing shit, all that, like
I don't think I've played a PlayStation 5 game off of a disc.
I don't think I have not.
The only game I put into my PS5 physical has been Overwatch. So I can play Overwatch 2, which is kind of weird that works that way.
Yeah.
That's the only way I've done it.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. Sad time for me. But to the point here from Chris earlier about like people like the collector's editions, I feel like they're just going to keep going the direction that they have been recently, which is collector's editions that don't even have the game. Or it's just a download code. Like, you're not actually getting the disc at all. I feel like that is the solution that gets everyone here exactly what they're looking for. And the consumers that actually want the disc, they're going to be like, fuck you, we don't care, because they don't care. And fortunately, nobody cares enough. We let this happen, everybody. And I understand it. I totally get it.
I'm trying to remember why I put it in my Overwatch disc, because that game is free to play. Was it a beta? Chad, does anybody relate to this? Do you guys remember putting in your Overwatch
maybe
into your PS5? Why did I do that?
it might have been, even though it was free to play, like maybe your account back at the time when you first have Overwatch was locked to the, like you had to prove again that you had the disc.
It might have been that like I just wanted to play Overwatch 1 and it was before Overwatch 2 came out.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Zasek in the chat says that there's a big difference because with movies, the Blu-ray, the physical is better quality than the digital, but there's not a difference with games. That's not true. There is a difference with games. It's actually better digitally. It loads faster, the SSD and all that stuff. So it's like, it's an even better argument against the physical side of games, where especially these days with firmware updates, day one patches, like the reality of games now, you're not playing games on discs. You're just not.
No, you're not.
Like, not fully, not completely, yeah. Not in the real way that it used
disc
to be.
Is just a key.
Yeah, so. Story number five. EA Sports FC is getting a turn-based tactical spinoff. A what?
Oh, yeah.
This comes from Chris Scully and FVGC. EA has announced a turn-based spinoff game based on its EA Sports FC series, formerly known as FIFA. EA Sports FC Tactical is coming to iOS and Android in early 2024 and replaces the typical EA Sports FC gameplay with strategic turn-based gameplay, according to EA. The game emphasizes in-game strategies such as stamina and power play management. Matches are simulated with turn-based opportunities to defend, attack, perform skill moves, and make attempts on target, resulting in authentic football action like never before. The game will feature 5,000 real players across more than 10 leagues, including the Premier League, La Liga, Bundesliga, Ligue 1, and Serie A. I think I got those.
You got them.
Okay, great. EA Sports FC Tactical. Is that what they're calling it?
I think it is. Yeah, EA Sports FC Tactical.
Fuck yeah.
They should have called it Tactics.
Will include a wide range of playable modes from online-friendly matches to intense online competitions, including ranked matches, leagues, and guilds. Train players to master high-skill moves, unlock perfect traits for deeper progression, and customize your team with various items like stadium designs, kits, and balls. The game could be pre-registered now on iOS App Store and Google Play. Kind of cool.
I love this, honestly. As you know, I've joined a soccer league with Mike, unfortunately, and other people. Cool Greg, who is, man, let me tell you, man. Last night we did a practice. It was so fucking fun. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it so much. And like, I'm starting to gain a newfound love for soccer/football that like, I think I'm going to play the sport forever.
Yeah.
I'm having an absolute blast. We did we were like doing different practice drills. Where like Cool Greg brought a bunch of cones because he just owns cones, and we put down the cones, and we had to like dribble through the cones and then shoot the ball.
Fuck yeah.
Cool Greg's friend Eric, who did not sign up for our soccer team, we've just forced him to play.
Good.
And so he was being our goalkeeper last night.
Yeah.
just we had like penalties that we were doing, just straight up pelting this guy with the ball, and he was having a great time too. It's just been so fucking fun. But one of the things that I was realizing as I was playing last night is that I think I have a mind for like soccer strategy, but my execution is just so whack sometimes, where like I'll go for a through pass where like I pass the ball, it's like a leading pass where I pass the ball in front of my other attacker and they'll like, you know, go in for the last hit. And I'm like, man, I'm putting too much power into this thing. I'm not putting enough power into this thing. I'm passing right into the defender. And I'm like, man, I wish my execution was better. I wish I had an outlet to where I can only think about the strategy.
The tactics of it all.
And guess what? EA Sports Tactical is
fuck
here.
Yeah, dude. Let's fucking go.
Tim, I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go through these different football leagues slash soccer leagues.
Love this.
I want you to tell me which country they are located in.
Oh, no. God. So two things that I'm horrible at.
Yes. So Premier League. Where do you think that is?
Ooh, the Premier League. I mean, it's got to be fucking USA, right?
No,
Premier, absolutely, baby.
Absolutely not. We are the MLS. We are the furthest thing from Premier possible. Even though now we have Messi, and so we're getting there.
Okay.
But Messi can't hold a whole continent on his back, a whole country. Okay. Premier League is in England.
Okay,
yeah. Cool. La Liga?
That's just down the street from La Cienega Boulevard in Los Angeles.
It's close.
Oh, yeah?
Spain.
Okay, good. Spain. Cool. That was my second answer.
I believe it's Spain, actually. Let me double-check that. Next one is Bundesliga.
Bundesliga.
Yeah, which I might be mispronouncing, but...
Bolivia.
No, good guess, though.
Yeah.
I see where you're going with that. That one would be Germany.
So close.
Bundesliga. And yeah, double-checking, yeah, La Liga is indeed Spain, because that's where Barcelona plays. Next one, League One.
League One?
League One.
Spelled
L-I-G-U-E.
Ooh, that changes
League
things.
One.
Definitely that is clearly the origin place of soccer, mm-hmm. of football, excuse me,
mm-hmm.
Which would be, Canada.
Well, we already went through the origin place, which is, I believe, England. Mm. Okay.
Mm.
Somewhere in Europe. Mm. No, League One would be, France.
Cool.
I believe that's where
PSG. French Canadian. Got it. That's where I got, that's where
you're
I got
confused.
Yeah.
Last one is Serie A.
Serie A. And can I get a spelling on that?
I keep forgetting League One is Ligue 1 because it's French. French.
Ligue
1 de trois. Quatre.
Ligue 1 balls? I have no idea.
Serie A would be Italy. I'm double checking as I say these out loud. But yes, Italy is what that would be. So
you learn something every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. There I did go. Okay.
You did all right.
I did all right.
Chat saying
Serie A. Listen, I can't. I read all these things when I'm playing FIFA. All right. I'm not. Listen, I'm not doing text to voice.
You don't listen to the people the commentary.
Yeah, but they don't always like talk about the leagues. I guess they do. I guess I just never catch it.
Yeah.
You know, if Blessing will ever actually get educated and understand football, that's so far away. If we want to know what's coming to Mom and Grop shops today, where would we look?
You look toward the official list of upcoming software across the Shinery platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Do, 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 yeah.
Out today, we got Lords of the Fallen on PC, PS5, Xbox, Siri. Alphadia 1 and 2 on everything. Cut the Rope 3 on mobile. For reals.
The third one.
Whoa.
I didn't know there was a second one.
I think they just skipped it.
Just
went straight to 3.
It was like when tech companies go straight to X.
Yeah.
From 8.
Yeah.
They're like, skip 9. Yeah, fuck nobody cares about 9.
Who cares? The Grinch Christmas Adventures on everything. And then Transformers Earthspark Expedition on everything.
Wait, Tim, you're telling me the Grinch has a game that's on every platform, including
Switch,
the Nintendo Switch.
Mm-hmm.
True.
The theories abound. Sakurai out of retirement.
I'm more curious about this Transformers game.
Yeah, what's going on with
what was it called?
Transformers Earthspark Expedition.
Cut the Rope 3.
Cut the Rope 3.
Is that
man.
Where we're at?
What a throwback there. Wasn't that a thing like when we were in high school, Les?
Yeah, that was like an iPod Touch. You're playing that,
damn. Dude. Bear, you know how back at IGN you had to do guides and like record footage of you playing through a whole bunch of games?
Yeah. Let me tell you about the month that Sam had me working on wiki guides for Candy Crush.
Yeah.
For a month.
Yeah. Back when I was an intern at IGN, I had to do all the video guides for Cut the Rope 1.
Wow.
And it was wild.
We put in our time, too.
I was not good at that game.
We put in our time.
How were you not good at Cut the Rope?
I mean, I was fine, but like,
it's such a straightforward game.
Yeah, but okay, Buzz.
All you gotta do is cut the rope.
Think about this. What if I told you, hey, I need you to make video guides of the correct solutions, the best solutions for 1-star, 2-star, 3-star?
Okay. Yeah, like, that's a bit expensive.
I could play Cut the Rope.
Mm-hmm.
Can I for sure get 3 stars the right way? No. Disaster.
In my head, Cut the Rope seems way easier than I'm sure it actually is. Because now, as I remember it, it's just like, you just got to cut the ropes in the right order, right? That's all it
was. That's all you got to do.
That's all you got to do.
Yeah, you know, it's Mario. You just jump. You just got to jump.
Cut the rope. Is this Transformers
Earthspark? Expedition. Damn, Bless. Damn. that voice said it all.
It went from being like, oh, this looks interesting to, oh, this looks, ah.
Nah, back to the uh-oh.
This seems like my 9-year-old nephew,
yeah,
would enjoy this, I think.
If we were still kids, like a kid's we'd game. Be into this game.
This looks like a kid's game.
That's not fucking Skywarp. Get the goddamn fuck out of here.
Damn.
Insulting. Jesus Christ.
I looked,
where are we at here? Let's do you wrong. I'm sure we got everything right. If anybody wrote it about any football or soccer shit, I'm going to fucking punch you in the dick. Let's see.
No football, I can confirm.
Yeah, chat's right. That game really really soured Tim's day today.
It did, man. That sucks. I was in such a good mood.
Yeah.
Ooh, sorry. I like this one from Bander SN. The top
Skywarp's
5.
Skywarp's purple.
The top fucking 5. Blue. Are we sure that was Skywarp? Was it not Bumblebee? I assumed it was Bumblebee.
Well, that was Bumblebee.
Oh, the yellow? Okay.
Then the guy that when it popped up and it said Skywarp underneath them.
I missed out. That point, I'd tuned out. I didn't care anymore. Bander SN says the top 5 gaming companies by revenue. Number 1, Tencent, $7.5 billion.
Wow.
Number 2, Sony, $4.3. Number 3, Apple.
Almost double.
Wild. Apple's number 3, $3.6 billion.
None of us would have said that, but it makes sense.
Microsoft, $3.2 billion. And then NetEase, $2.7 billion.
Ape Roman says, go play War for Cybertron, Tim, and take back your mood. That would be a great idea. Get on it, Activision. Get on it, Xbox.
Activision was the number 7 at $2.3 billion.
Good for them.
Huh.
Murph Dad says Minecraft does not have any Microsoft or Xbox branding upon startup, just the Mojang studio screen followed by the Minecraft logo.
But don't you have to log into your Xbox account or something?
But Minecraft Dungeons does show Xbox Game Studios logo. Mm-hmm. So.
Same with Psychonauts. On the other side, same with PlayStation with MLB The Show. If you boot it up on Xbox, you see the PlayStation Studio startup thing.
People are saying that Tim's commentary about digital video games loading faster than disc video games was incorrect. Consoles don't play games from the disc itself anymore. The game's fully installed and plays from the hard drive. No different than downloaded version of the game.
I think that was the point, though.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. That was the point you're making, is that like these discs mean nothing.
Yeah. So
they're pieces of plastic. If anything, we're fucking up the environment. Get rid of them.
Fucking figure it out, dude. Everybody. God, that Transformers game ruined my day. But you know what's going to make my day better, Bless?
Seeing the trailer for the Grinch game?
No, I don't think so. No? Talking to you about Loki on the screencast we're about to record that'll soon go up on youtube.com/kindoffunny. So you can check that out. This has been a very fun week hanging out with everybody here on Kind of Funny Games Daily. We will return next week with a host cast that looks like this. Monday, Greg and me. Tuesday, Greg and Tam. Wednesday, Bless and Andy. Thursday, Bless and me. Friday, me and Bless. It's going to be fun.
Hell yeah.
It's going to be a good one. Yeah. Prepare yourselves, everybody. Next week's going to be a lot.
Yeah, pretty chill week it looks like on
the
calendar.
Pretty chill
week.
Not
much happening next week.
Nothing crazy. Not a Spider-Man 2 coming out. Not a Mario Wonder coming out. Not a Blink-182 album coming out,
don't
Barrett.
Sonic. Crazy. Crazy.
And don't forget Sonic.
Don't forget Sonic. Don't
it's
forget
been 11 Sonic. Years since Tom's
when
been
When does
on
Hot Wheels Unleashed come out? Is that next week, too?
Fuck, that is, I think. Or maybe it's today. I don't know, man.
Anyway, until next time.
It's not on us today, so I don't think it's today.
It's been our pleasure to serve you.